Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Abdallah in for Captain J Hood this morning. Why are you and Shane Norling fighting about DVOA, a analytic for football?
Shay doesn't like it.
What's going on here?
Wait, I'm not.
Shay, do you have your dead man walking list?
Do you have your dead team walking?
Is that the analytic you would like to use for football?
The dead team walking list is my favorite analytic.
Who's number one? Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Yeah, because they are walking and they're going to make the playoffs, but they're so dead. You know what's the worst thing is? I don't know if they actually are number one, because can't you see a future where Dallas has to go on the road to Tampa in the first round of the playoffs and loses?
No, I see the opposite. I see Micah Parsons killing Tom Brady on national TV and that being the end of the story.
Killing dead? Like, yeah. Tom Brady's not dead.
Man
It's one of those where he goes for the strip sack and he leaves with the football and the helmet and is just running down the field with the helmet in one arm and the football in the other. And the Cowboys, America's team, takes down America's boy. Couldn't you see that? I see that. 46-2.
I see that.
Yeah. See that final score. Let's call it now. Cowboys over Buccaneers.
Dead team walking.
Who else is on the list?
Number one on my list actually is the New England Patriots. It's a dead team walking.
Well, explain that. So all of our fine Cap and J Hood listeners listen to you each and every week talk about your love for Boston sports, but you're from Detroit. Explain this one to me.
Explain which one, the dead team walking or the love for the Patriots?
Well, how are you a Boston fan, but you're not from Boston?
Really, I'm a Celtics fan and I'm a Patriots fan. So when I was growing up, my aunt and uncle lived there, and we would go there often. Okay. And I've told you before, like, Detroit, like, the Lions were blacked out locally a lot because they couldn't sell out the games. So when they were playing at home, I couldn't watch them on TV.
Hold on.
And what comes on TV instead? The Patriots.
Shay, stop. You don't have to do this. You leave him alone. Okay, Mr. USC fan over here. Well, Mr. Manchester United fan over here. You go to France once, and now you're a PSG fan.
None of us grew up in England
to be a European soccer fan.
Yeah, but why United? You could pick Tottenham and be one
of
the
you know
cool
why?
Kids.
Because when we were all picking teams.
Well, they're the most pretentious.
I go, D-bags pick United. He goes, well, I'm a United fan.
Yeah. I'm always shocked when I see you like rage tweeting about the Celtics. I'm like, who cares about the Celtics?
Well, I mean, let him be a fan of who he wants to be a fan of.
I was just
You're
asking.
You're a USC fan. Leave him alone.
I didn't say he can't be a fan of it. I was just asking for the backstory.
I need your fan. What, you got to tattoo it on it now? Are you a fan? You fan checking dudes? I need credentials.
Well, Cap's not here. Someone's got to monitor the halls about fan checking.
No, let him be a fan.
I had a guy I used to work with said it was garbage that I would root for the Patriots. And he's like, oh, you're not even a real fan. You're just a front runner. Then I told him I was going to see them play in Buffalo and in Pittsburgh in the same season. And he's like, for some reason, that was like the thing that made it okay for me to be a Patriots fan. Oh, you're going on the road to see them? I guess you are actually a fan.
Speaking of Cap, guys, I'll just put this out into the world. Google it if you want to. Cap's guy, Dabo Swinney, had an amazing comment on name, image, and likeness yesterday.
Yeah.
And he, oh my God. He said they're creating the team in the name, image, and likeness of God.
Oh, no. Well, that's Cap's guy. So there you go. Dabo Swinney. Cap's guy.
Like,
shout out to that.
The dude has also said that if players ever got paid, he would go sell cars. I'm still waiting for him to open his dealership.
He's not selling cars.
Dabo. Haven't you done it yet?
He's cashing checks.
Why? Where's your car dealership? I'm not saying he has to like be a car salesman. He can just retire and open a dealership like he said he would.
I will say this. The benefit of working the show 2 days in a row was that I got to sit at home and watch the SEC Network for like 6 straight hours.
Oh, you see that recruiting class?
And to watch recruiting breakdown with the first signing day, which we know in college football, there's also a second signing day. And basically with the transfer portal, you have all winter to kind of build your team. So I get there's a lot of people out there suggesting that the ranking of the classes and, oh, here's Oregon. Look how great Oregon is because of the first day of this signing period. Congratulations. You're still going to lose. But how about you? Alabama, what a start to signing day.
6 5-stars, 24-star players. 1 3-star player, that's all right. You gotta spread the wealth around a little bit, I guess. It's like Alabama getting a 3-star player is like that picture of Diddy looking at a dollar. It's just like, what do I do with this?
What do I do with this 3-star? What do I do with this?
They flipped a couple dudes. They flipped a dude from Auburn. They flipped a dude from Iowa, an offensive guy from Iowa. They flipped a defensive guy from Auburn. It's a good day. It's a good day.
Abdal, this holiday week, we have Christmas coming up this weekend. Hanukkah's taking place. So, you know, at this time of year, people are always thinking about their wish lists, right? And then also, you know, I like to think back of some of the great gifts that I've received in the past. And 25 years ago this fall, a specific game was released that I was fond of back in the day when I was a kid. That's right. Do you remember the Nintendo 64?
Yes.
The winter was 1997. It was the fall of 97. And a young Chris Bleck was sitting there hoping and praying that a Nintendo 64 and GoldenEye, the game, James Bond 007, would be there on Christmas morning. Can you recall a present that you just absolutely needed to have?
Oh, yeah. It was the Nintendo 64. I remember that year, my birthday is December 4th, so earlier than Christmas, but I got it for my birthday, and it was like a combo. It was like an Eid, which is a Muslim holiday, and my birthday, because it was like they were close, because Eid's a Muslims work on a lunar calendar, so the calendar moves around, right?
Sure.
And so I was like, Mom, Dad, come on.
Come on.
It's one present, but like for two, you're killing two birds with one stone here, guys. You don't need to get me anything for Eid if you get me this for my birthday. And it worked because they didn't. And then I got a 64 and GoldenEye for my birthday.
Okay. And so here's why I want you to explain. Explain to people why GoldenEye, the 007 game for Nintendo 64, was so important to millennials when they were that age. When they were sitting there around 12 years old, 13, that this game was released and why it was so important to not only you, but I assume your friend group as well.
Yeah, I mean, because like if you had the game first, like everyone came over to play there, right? Like everyone wanted to play. Like, hey guys, we're coming, we're gonna play GoldenEye. Like it was the first, I can't remember another system or game. I think believe it was it the first 4-controller system? I believe it was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was.
And so, like, you could play with 4 people at the same time, and you could have 3 of your friends over and 1 weird friend sitting in the corner waiting to rotate in, because everyone had to rotate in, right?
Sure.
And so, like, you had there'll be, like, one of your friends being like, come on, guys, someone die already. And and so, like, you then became, like, the house. And that changed with Xbox, because Xbox, you could have, like, 16 people, you could do all that kind of stuff, but I remember GoldenEye being the first one where you'd be like, all right, I'm bringing my controller over, because like you never had 4 controllers. You had 2 controllers, and then someone had to bring their controller over if they wanted to play. Like, all right, you come, but you got to bring your controller.
Of course, and it was important because it was based off a movie, GoldenEye, the James Bond film, but also like the levels were basically the movie, the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
But the key was the multiplayer, which you could play in the different levels, which was fantastic because in a multiplayer setting, you're right, it was the first time you could have 4 people all playing together. But it was like basically Mario Kart at the time, and it was GoldenEye, is where you could have all 4 of your friends playing at once. And that's where my favorite joke is when you look at Twitch. There are people streaming their video games on Twitch.
Dude.
Hundreds of thousands of people watching.
Millions.
There was nothing worse than being 12 years old in 1997 and being the 5th friend in the group of 4 and being the last one to get there. So now you're just sitting there watching your 4 buddies play video games and waiting for someone to die.
And you didn't have a phone either. Like you couldn't just like you
no,
had to
you
do.
You sat there. You sat there and watched others play video games, and it sucked.
And so, but now people spend their time watching people play video games. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it.
Jake Cantu and Shane Norling are with us this morning. Guys, can you recall a gift a wish list gift that you had for Christmas or some other holiday that you look at and you're like, this is the absolute gift I need to have. Maybe it was a birthday, something that you really had to have. For me, it was GoldenEye for Nintendo 64. What do you guys say?
I didn't think about that. I don't know if I really have one. Oh, I got a box set of every Calvin and Hobbes comic. That was one of my favorite gifts I've ever gotten.
You called me a nerd.
Jeez.
It's not nerdy.
Well, a box of comics, it's a little nerdy.
I got a box of books. Yeah, because they weren't like comics. Like, the Calvin and Hobbes books were thick.
It's limited edition, glossy pages.
Dude, stop digging your nerd hole. Just stop. Like, you're making it worse.
Jake, what about you?
I think the first thing that comes into mind is when I was, like, 10 years old when the Wii came out. That was, like, my thing. You know, like, you had the sensor and the bar, and you play Wii Sports indoors.
It was Wii Tennis. That was all the rage, right?
Yeah, I didn't have to go outside and get all sweaty. I can just, like, put my strap on with my Wii controller.
Phrasing.
Well, there you go. There's the Captain J. Hood cut of the day. Jake and his strap on. We'll be back.
Captain J. Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
That's right. It's Black and Abdallah filling in for Cap'n Jay Hood today. We'll continue taking your calls at 312-332-3776. But right now, it's time for Deal Breakers, powered by SEO. Level up. Here's Shay Norling. Hello, Shay.
Good morning, boys. I want to start with a sports-related deal breaker here.
Yes, they were smashing on the avocados. Your thoughts?
Smashing.
Deal breaker?
This is not related to smashing. This is sports-related.
Okay. All right.
You're the general manager of an NFL team. Your team's quarterback just threw for 50 touchdowns and 5,500 yards last season, taking home most valuable player honors. In the offseason, his private Twitter account was found with a collection of wildly racist tweets. What do you do?
You probably suspend the quarterback, and you allow the National Football League to step in and to... hand out.
They'll take care of it.
Punishment.
Yeah, they've always been consistent with punishments.
Well, isn't that in that situation? Don't you allow the league to take a situation by control?
How old are these tweets?
I don't think that matters.
No, it does. How old are these? Are these like tweets he was getting off in junior high when he was stupid?
He was old enough to know better.
Okay. Because that's happened a lot. You get these college prospects that tweet dumb stuff in junior high, and they delete it, and people move on, and they say that they were stupid, and, you know. I think you probably have to suspend him, and it's the NFL, though. Everyone forgets as soon as you throw another 50 touchdowns, right? So you says, here's what would happen. He would get suspended. He would have to go to sensitivity training. He would have to do all this other stuff involved with that. And then he'd be back on the field week one.
Of the next year. Yeah.
That's what would happen.
Yeah.
That's what would happen. I would hope that in this day and age, that not only would you not have those thoughts, but also these kind of tweets and stuff would be found before you are even drafted.
Are you pointing to due diligence?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
When it comes to due diligence in the National Football League, just ask the Cleveland Browns about that.
Well, that's my point.
I was just
going to
say, maybe
that's
you trade
my point.
Him for three first-round picks and like, let another team make him
we've
the highest
got a
pick
dude
player.
We did our due diligence. Did you talk to any of the survivors? We did not.
He's on record.
Deshaun
like,
Watson on the field.
Pulling it out in front of people.
Doing
and
the
it's
what?
Just like pulling it out in front of people. And it's just like... Hey, did you dump? Okay, you coughed. I was like, dude, don't dump that.
I didn't dump that.
I thought you were reaching for the box. So I thought you were dumping me.
I am not reaching for your box.
Yeah.
I am not reaching for your box.
But again, yeah, it's the NFL. So, like, no one really cares. That's my, like, it's a callous thing to say, but it's true.
Yeah. The National Football League keeps moving.
Right? Yeah. So I think that, to me, I mean, there's a lot of things that NFL teams do that would be deal breakers for me. Like, I don't want Deshaun Watson on my football team, you know?
Right.
So for me, it would probably be a deal breaker. Like, I've got other things in my life that when people become found out that they are racist or homophobic or whatever, that I cut that part them out of my life. Like, perfect example. Done with Kanye.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep.
And like, I was a huge Kanye fan.
We both
like,
were.
The biggest Kanye fan. But now, if anybody needs a pair of Yeezys, call me. So now, Kanye's done. Like, I would feel the same way about any other performer or athlete that I was a fan of before.
Deal breakers, Shay? What else do you have?
All right. Your wife has a coworker who she has told you tends to be creepy and flirtatious in the office, and he doesn't listen when she's asked him to stop and back off. You accompany her to her holiday party, as a husband does. He approaches the two of you, and he gives her a Christmas gift. It's a necklace with his initial as a pendant. Do you step in, or do you just kind of let your wife take care of business?
Well, it's a deal breaker with the wife, right? See that, Jay? I flipped it on you. Why does she have a friend that thinks that that would be okay?
Yeah.
You can't just blame it on the creeper. There's something else happening thinks that this is appropriate.
Is he handing these out like candy? Like everyone's getting one or just her?
No, just her.
Oh, yeah. That's a deal breaker. That's a deal breaker for both of them. What's going on?
Yeah, there's something else.
I need to see the security cam footage. Like, what's going on in this office?
There's a miss. It's a work husband right there.
That's more than a work husband, my friend.
That's something else. That's like a yoga friend. That's a juice instructor. That's getting juice in the morning. That's the whole deal.
Like this, here's my work husband right here.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi.
Work wife.
Well, I mean,
wives can be dudes too, man.
I understand that. That's why I was saying work husband, work partner. There you go.
Shay, how would you handle this situation?
My wife would beat his ass, so I wouldn't worry about it. I'd step out of the way and watch the show.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I don't think my wife would have put up with it in the first place. So, probably not a deal breaker for her, but if he's still trying, then we're going to have some speaks. I might have to call a couple cousins.
Shay's not saying, hey, let's really get this deal breaker going. Let's find some avocados. Let's make this a three-person deal.
Don't you worry.
Let's find an office, guys.
Yeah. Let's make sure that necklace goes on, and we see the initials there. We'll take care of the situation.
Don't you worry, that's coming.
What else do you have?
All right, well, before we get to that, your family always does a large gathering around the holidays, and every year someone different has to host. This year, a family member that lives 4 hours away in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, is offering to host Christmas. Do you go?
Deal breaker, you should know better. If you live out in the boonies, you're not hosting. No offense, we're not going.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4 hours for everyone. Then yeah, deal breaker. You got to find a central location for everyone. And even if that means, because here's the deal, like I'll say this, like we don't have a central Thanksgiving location.
Yeah.
So what we do is we rent an Airbnb. And, like, my mom comes from Florida, and my sister comes from Norway, and my wife's parents come from Indiana. And, like, Chicago is the central location, but our apartment's not big enough for everyone. So, like, we have to get an Airbnb so people can stay and we can have enough room for hosting.
Sure.
So we do that, but we find the central location for everyone to go. It's not like my sister's like, hey, guess what? We're hosting Thanksgiving this year. Everyone come to Norway.
Yeah, that's where the deal breaker is. You have to find a centralized place. I get that some people feel a bit left out that they can't host, but it's fun to not host. Just show up and leave. That's the best part. You're just there and you get to leave when you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it offensive of the person that lives that far away to assume they can host?
Yes.
Yeah, I think enough. You have to have a vote. There has to be a quorum. There has to be a cheerocracy involved in saying that person can't host. And someone else needs to step up and be like, y'all, I'm closer. You drive 4 hours. You can stay overnight, drive 4 hours back the next day. But we're not all driving 4 hours to your house.
Shay, you have a bit of a drive ahead of you today, correct?
Yeah, 4 hours, actually.
Are you the only ones driving that distance? Is everyone else in Michigan? Where on the hand in Michigan are you guys driving
to?
They're all right here, all of them, and that's where we're going.
Towards the thumb?
Yep.
Ooh, that can get dicey today.
Okay.
That's going to get dicey
today. No, because the storm's chasing us.
Yeah, they're behind.
So as long as we're in front of
them. The storm's behind them.
Yeah, I'm driving to Indianapolis today.
Storm's behind you, too.
I know.
You guys gonna be chilly?
Once you get
over the weekend?
Once you get east of 65, though, that's when the big snow's coming, supposedly. Tracy will be in here.
What are you guys gonna do with the cold?
Stay inside like an adult?
That was a topic.
It's not gonna be that cold in Detroit. It's gonna be like 35 or something.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Weak.
Deal breakers with Shea Norling.
All right, let's get to the smashing on the avocados.
Yeah.
Your company throws a holiday party in the office, and this thing is straight out of Mad Men. Booze is flowing. Coworkers are getting a little reckless.
Someone gets run over by a lawnmower.
It's a great episode. You stumble into an office, and you walk in on your closest coworker hooking up with your boss. Do you mention this? Do you use it as leverage, or do you just act like it never happened?
Ooh. I mean, you got to keep something in your back pocket, right?
Oh, Abdallah always scheming.
Well, no.
Abdallah's always scheming.
Listen, we're all consenting adults here. As long as nothing nefarious is going on, then let people be, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to hold anything against anybody.
I just shut slowly back out, shut the door, and that's it, right? As long as everyone's involved as consenting adults here, do you, man.
Yeah, I would. That's the play for me. I'm just I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What happened?
You want to mess around? Like, look,
all right,
you will get your comeuppance. You will get it, but not from me.
Yeah. And I'll go about my day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you got to, like, the next time you talk to your boss, you got to throw a little wink. I know you know wink. That I know.
Nah, I mean,
he knows. He knows you know. You open the door.
Yeah.
He knows.
Keep it cool, but I know that you know that I know.
They know.
See, now you're entering in territory because then they may respond in a negative fashion towards you.
Yeah.
Trying to prohibit you doing something to impact them.
Yeah. I think if they ever came to me and was like, hey, we're going to get rid of you, and I'd be like, well,
here's the thing.
That's the point. It's like, I'm not going in there going, hey, I need a raise because you know that I know. If push comes to shove and they need to eliminate a position, it ain't mine.
Are you tagging in?
That's a good question. Depends, I think, right?
Now entering.
How close are you with your coworker?
On the side, there's a little official with a board that has Shay's name on it, like
that.
It's soccer.
It's the WWE. It's the top rope. The guy's on the ground, and you're trying to rally the crowd, and
here
you're
comes
like,
Shay
come
running,
on,
running
come
in,
on,
running
come
in
on,
to be tagged.
Come on,
leap
come
for the
on,
tag.
Tag me.
With a big elbow drop.
Adam and Chris, you're a great litmus test for this. You're close friends. Adam, you walk in on Chris with somebody. Are you tagging in? Are you joining? Is that becoming a three-person party?
When we were roommates in Lakeview for six years, there was no tagging situation.
There was no tagging situation.
We did have in the summers, because we only had AC units in the living room, we did sleep with our doors open.
Yeah.
So there were situations to be had. There was never a tag-in situation, though.
Yeah, unless you had someone over and it's like, we're going to be hot, sorry. We're either going to be really hot or really cold. We have to keep
the
doors shut.
You slept with the doors open?
Yes. We didn't have air conditioning in our room or heat in our room.
The AC was only in the living room.
That, sleeping with the door open is a non-negotiable.
It's weird, man.
Can't do it.
It was weird.
Well, I mean, there was the one lady that was there that I hung out with a couple times, and we successfully
did the trade-off.
It was great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was fantastic.
Like, I'm feeling it, and I was like, I kind of am.
I kind of think this could end.
I kind of think, for all the reasons you don't like her, I think I like her.
I'm kind of into this, and then I go to work.
I come back
the next day, and she's sitting on the couch with Adam. I go, oh, hey, how's it going, everybody?
It was more like, what's up? Sorry, we have more things in common than you guys did.
That's great.
She had the big gauge in her ear, didn't she?
Yeah, not a big one, but like, you know.
Well, Chris, that wasn't a deal breaker.
Gauge,
you walked in and Adam
enough
and
to
your
make...
girl are on the couch
smashing
on the avocados. No. That's not a deal breaker.
It wasn't like a behind-the-back pass. It was
a mutual agreement. Yeah.
Let's sub in someone that can handle this situation.
Yeah.
That's what took place. deal breakers with Shea Norland. I'm just saying, it was a success. It was good for all parties. It was successful. Very nice.
It worked out.
Everyone walked away happy.
There's no complaints.
Yeah. It worked.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck, along with Adam Abdallah. You can listen to our show weeknights from 6 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. We're filling in for the guys today here on ESPN 1000. And at this hour, the news here at ESPN 1000, take a look at the Bulls. They beat the Hawks last night, 110-108. The Bulls get back-to-back wins, and the Hawks are a playoff team as well, just like the Miami Heat. But the Hawks were actually playing. Most of their players were healthy. They were out there. It was a good win for the Chicago Bulls last night. Iwu Dosunmu with the putback off of the miss from DeMar DeRozan in the final second. He gets it up and in as the Bulls win the game late. Last night against the Hawks. The Cubs introduced Dansby Swanson yesterday. He talked to the media. Week 16 in the NFL kicks off tonight. Jacksonville and the New York Jets face off. And also, we've been talking Bears football with you here on ESPN 1000. We were looking at the injury report earlier because Chase Claypool did not practice yesterday. We'll find out what his designation is today at Bears practice. But it does not look good, and it looks as if another week for Justin Fields without some of his wide receivers as we try and figure out his development here in the final weeks of the season. Last week was good. I want to see him play well against the Bills on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Equanimeous St. Brown is still in concussion protocol, and of course the big name Chase Claypool with his knee injury that happened against the Packers, and now this is a three-week injury now. And he went back into that game after the injury, and so you have to wonder if there's something wrong, if he can't play this week, if maybe they just shut him down for the year, because at that point, what, you've got the Lions and the Vikings at the end of the year. So I don't want to see them shut him down if he's healthy, because I think the more reps he gets with Justin Fields, the better. But I'm also in the camp of not really being worried about Chase Claypool. I think give him a full offseason with Justin Fields. Get a number one wide receiver, because I think we can both agree, like, Chase Claypool's not the answer to this problem. Darnell Mooney's not the answer to this problem. The answer to this problem is a true number one wide receiver. Chase Claypool's a good two. Darnell Mooney's a good two or three. But, like, you need more than that. So I would like to see them get reps, but this offense is going to be better when they get a real number one wide receiver. Like, the season is not hinging upon next week or next year getting Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool back healthy. It's getting a number one wide receiver, having a good Chase Claypool to complement that number one wide receiver, having Darnell Mooney as a fast guy that can run down the field, and then having Cole Kmet being a guy that he's proven to be in the last couple weeks as a go-to weapon for Justin Fields. So, yeah, it'd be cool to have him out there. But again, we saw that without true wide receivers out there, true number one wide receiver, that Justin Fields has been able to put up numbers against good teams. Like, they put up numbers against the Eagles. The Eagles have a very good defense. The Bills have one of the best defenses, if not the best defense, in the NFL. They're worse against the pass than the Eagles were, but they're better against the rush than the Eagles were. So it'll be interesting to see how much Justin Fields is limited as a runner, but also if they can maybe spread this ball around a little bit, because you kind of have to. There's nobody else out there.
Well, and I think that's what's been the most impressive part about Justin Fields developing to this point, is that it seems as if each and every week there's more adversity in front of him based on the talent around him, and then also the way this team has kind of been, the schedule is kind of laid out, where you get the bye week, and then you face off against arguably the two best teams in the NFL, Buffalo and Philly. And the Bears don't win against the Eagles on Sunday, but they looked okay on offense. And it's not Justin Fields just running around for his life. We saw that at times last year and early this season. He seems to be standing tall in the pocket, making crisp decisions, running when he needs to, and then also passing down the field. And that one play, he rolls out to his right and he has an opportunity to only use his legs. Instead, now he's starting to think, look downfield, finds a wide open wide receiver for a touchdown at the end. And that's where I see that development from Fields going to the next level. It's Bleck and Abdallah in for Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. So the Bulls, they win last night 110 to 108. Back-to-back wins for the Chicago Bulls. 28 points for DeMar DeRozan to lead the way. Zach LaVine had 22. He made two big shots late in the fourth quarter. Credit Zach for hitting those shots to keep them in the game, keep them in the contest as of late. The defense continued to play kind of poorly at the end because the game, I think, was won in favor of the Bulls a couple of times in the final minute. And Trae Young and the Hawks just came right down the field, right down the court, and immediately scored. And that last alley-oop was like there was no contest defensively from the Bulls in that situation, which has been something that's been a problem all season long for the Chicago Bulls. I don't know if winning back-to-back games on the road on this four-game trip, and they finish off with the Knicks on Friday, I don't know if winning back-to-back games really changes much of the conversation around this team. But it is a nice start if they're going to start to turn things. The thing that I would continue to look at with this Bulls team is you can promote how great last night's win was. You're still five games under.
Yeah.
And like that's the problem is that you can play back-to-back games against decent teams, Miami and Atlanta, and play well in the fourth quarter. And when all the national attention is on your shoulders and focused on you, Zach LaVine, it's nice for you to show up against the Hawks. I'll give you the credit. It needs to continue, though. And that's where this team is already behind it, because being five games under, right now you're the 11th seed in the Eastern Conference. And I think at the end of the day, at best, you're looking at a team that could scrape the 500. And so what? You're in the play-in situation at the end of the season? It's not really changing the end equation to what this team really is when you look to the future.
Well, there's two problems, right? My first problem was yesterday the way the game ended up. I like that they won, but at the same time, you blew a 20-point lead? 15-point lead? Like, they were up big.
Sure.
And I know basketball's a game of runs, stuff like that, and it happens. They found a way to win the game, but they were losing that game late, and they had to find a way to come back after being up 15 to 20 points. The other problem is, you're right, being the 11th seed and two wins against the Heat and the Hawks is great. But also, you know, Lonzo Ball gave an update yesterday of his health, and he's just he just touched a basketball for the first time in a while. So he's not playing this year, most likely. And we heard from Shams earlier this week that, you know, they were going to make a decision about him by the All-Star break of whether he was going to play. So we'll get an answer here in the next couple months of whether or not he's going to play this year. I don't think he plays this year. If the dude is just picking up basketball, is still on the ramp up to running, I don't think he's playing this year. But even if that happens, even if he comes back, I still think you're in a place where AK and Mark Eversley have to sit down and look in the mirror and look at this team and say, we are nowhere near as good as the Bucks and the Celtics and even the Cavs or Brooklyn or the 76ers or even the Knicks or like all these teams that you need to be better than if you're going to compete. Like, are you just going to make a team that's good enough to make the play-in tournament every year or like the sixth seed every year? Is that what you're trying to do here? Or are you trying to build a contender and get a real superstar? And I still think the answer is going to be you need to find a way to attract a superstar, and building through the draft might be that way. And the only way you're going to do it is by blowing this up. And then you look at some of these wins and you're like, well, are they going to be top four? Like, do they have if they blow it up, are they going to wait until the trade deadline to do it? And if they wait and do it then, do they still have enough time to be bad enough to be top four? Because looking at the game yesterday, like if they would have blown out the Hawks and it would have been a 20-point win, and you're like, all right, you beat the Heat, you have a 20-point win against the Hawks, maybe something's building here. But they couldn't hold the lead. They're still not healthy. Caruso left with a shoulder injury, so they're getting more injured as the days go by. Like, this just isn't a recipe, and I don't want to be like all doom and gloom, you got to blow it up every time we talk about the Bulls, but you have to look at every game by, if you're trying to blow this up and get a top four pick, and because your pick is top four protected, then every game matters. Every single one. These two wins might end up hurting them from being top four.
There's a couple of things that I think which is interesting is this team to get to the next level needs young players to step up. Last night, the young players I thought played well. Patrick Williams had a good game. 11 points in 37 minutes. He had 8 rebounds. He made a couple of really nice shots in the fourth. There was a shot he took in the fourth. He was in the corner, collected in the corner from the pass. He pumped faked once, stepped into like a 17-foot jump shot and buried it. That's not something we've seen with confidence from Patrick Williams. That was a nice move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We need to see more from him on that. Coby White last night was attacking the rim. He was playing well. So your two young players look like they're starting to maybe turn a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the whole conversation of not having enough and not comparing to other teams. Even if Patrick Williams and Coby White play the way they did last night, that's still not enough. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not turning a corner to be all-star level guys. They're turning a corner to be, like, playable.
Yes.
Right? Like, in minutes that matter, they're playable. And, like, there was an interesting stretch in the fourth quarter where DeMar DeRozan was out there, I think late third as well. DeRozan was out there with Coby White, Ayo Dosunmu, and Dalen Terry were all out on the court together.
Mm-hmm.
All of the young guards were out there with DeRozan. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because Dalen Terry obviously only getting run because Caruso went out with the injury. But when you kind of mix together the young with the vets, it's like what this team needs is young players that carry the way. And the vets, they can't do it all themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm including Zach into the vet conversation, even though it doesn't seem like he is. It's just he needs a little kick in the rear end to get going sometimes. He needs a little national spotlight to suggest that he wants his way out of here, because that's what's being reported by Sham Sharania, is that at some point there's going to be a breakup here because he's a clutch player and mm-hmm. he is based on his agency, and he's going to force his way to a different team, likely to be the Lakers at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they have to give it up. But when you look at the construction of the team, you need Patrick Williams to take another step. You need Coby White to be more consistent. You need Ayo Dosunmu to play like he did last night and not like he played in the previous weeks where he was really struggling. And that's, I think, the problem with this whole roster construction, is that they don't have the top line star, and the back line guys don't necessarily give you the consistent productivity that you need either. And that's the problem with the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, and it sucks to say that the answer is blow it up, but your answer might be blow it up, because you just don't want to be a team that makes... Because what was the difference? What was the point of doing the regime change if you're only going to be the 6 or 7 seed or make the play-in? Like, what was the point? I thought that this new regime was to be brought in to bring winning basketball and championship basketball back to the city.
One could think that it was just to placate the fans, because the fans were upset and they wanted it to happen. So you gave the fans what they wanted. You wanted Gar Pax out, so you give them
but,
that.
But AK and Eversley have a track record of building through the draft. So let them build through the draft.
They do. But there's something with NBA players. Like, you got to have skill. And if you're just selecting the best all-around guys who are just on the board at that time, mm-hmm. like, unfortunately, Dalen Terry is not going to be a guy that's really going to change much, because his number one basketball attribute will be, like, his IQ and his teamwork.
Yeah,
he's never going to be a guy that steps on the floor and the other team has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a guy who could contribute to winning basketball, but that's not going to get you to that high level that you need. Bluck and Abdallah, we're in for Cap and Jay Hood.
The Jay Hood Mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.